Welcome back to another episode of Interview You. This is your host, Lewis Shine. And hey, have another special episode today. But before I get into what we're going to talk about today, I want to shout out my partners, Dr. Dish. First of all, again, shout out to Dr. Dish for their recent partnership with FIBA, as well as many other partnerships that they have, partnered with a lot of different entities lately. Just want to shout out them for this, just their advancement and, partnering with different people and getting out there more and touching lives, because I believe that not only with the products that they have, are they significant to the basketball space, but they're also significant because of the care behind what they do. They care about people. They care about, the individuals that are inspired behind what they do. So, I mean, you can totally see that as they post on social media, some of the things that they're doing. It's very amazing, and I'm so honored to be partnered with them. And they make great machines, great products. If you're in the market for a product from them, a shooting machine, you can join, programs like Duke, North Carolina, Baylor, Florida, countless others. Even when I coached at the D1 level, we had a Dr. Dish machine and I would use it with my players. So I know what the product is like. I've used it. I stand behind it. Make sure if you're in the market for a shooting machine, check out Dr. Dish. They've revolutionized the industry. Make sure you visit their website, drdishbasketball.com. That's drdishbasketball.com. And on social media, Dr. Dish B-Ball. Make sure you check them out. Give them a follow. Check out some of their recent posts. They have a lot of great content that will not only help yourself or your players or your children that play basketball. I believe it'll help you out greatly. And also, our other partner, David Roberts State Farm. That's David Roberts State Farm for your auto, home insurance needs, life insurance. Make sure that if you're in the Ohio area, please visit agentdavidroberts.com. That's agentdavidroberts.com. Or you can reach them by calling 419-420-7700. That's 419-420-7700.
Well, hey, everybody, we have another special guest on the show. Basketball junkie for sure, as with myself, connected with him about a year or so ago. He's doing some great things in the space of basketball merch. He definitely has the love of the game in his heart. So without further ado, I want to welcome to the show my boy, Rob Hernandez. How's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, Lewis? Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, no problem, man. Grateful to for you to take time out to come on the show, man. And I wanted to get you on, man. We had some great conversations, man, in the game of ball, man. And we talked a lot about some things that are going on with yourself, but just wanted to get you on the show, man, so we can kind of talk through what you have going on in your brand, man, which I absolutely love. I got a few things that you sent me some time ago, man, when I was coaching, man, and I still have those things. Absolutely love them, but I'm not going to give everything away, man. Let's take this thing first before we get into your brand. Yeah. Let's take it all the way back, man. Where did the game of basketball first enter your life?
Oh, shoot. That was at an early age. It was really my dad who kind of got me really into basketball. And, he would work late nights, he would actually have me record the Laker games while he was at work. And so, I had to sit there because he had me edit all the commercials out of the out of the games. And so it was really an early age, and that's how I ended up getting really into basketball, was with Lakers, Showtime Lakers of the 80s. And so, yeah, that was like kind of the beginning of it all. And, got super interested in it growing up, started playing ball myself. And, I didn't really know that my dad played ball in the Philippines for years. And it just kind of, trickled down to me, And so, but yeah, that's kind of how it all started. And, it was, at a early age at junior high school. I was that kid that was always rocking, you know, sports memorabilia jackets and t-shirts and, you know, things like that, posters up in my bedroom, you know, collecting toys, collecting basketball cards, you know, that was me. So, but yeah.
Man, that's good stuff, man. And we share some common things, man. My dad used to work third shift and he had me record the games, the Laker games too. especially, you know, when we left Southern California, we moved to the Midwest and the Laker games would come on at 10:30 out here. So he had to work at 11. So by the time he left, he had left a VHS tape for me to pop in and record the game, man. So I have those same sentiments, man, that you used to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to catch the game. You cannot not watch a game. You know,
right.
You know, if you can't catch it, you have to record it.
That's right.
You know, and so yeah, they don't have all of the replays like we do now. You know, you can go online and get the game or whatever the next day or something. But yeah, man, we talked a lot about just that rich tradition, man, that we both kind of grew up around, man, that Showtime basketball. Kind of talk a little bit about just how, you know, whether it's you going to games or just watching Showtime, kind of what it did for like the basketball culture within your heart.
Oh man, that was huge. I mean, Showtime Lakers was huge for me. I was really inspired by Magic Johnson, you know, point guard for the Lakers, handle the rock, you know, no look passes, the whole nine yards. I mean, every time I watched the Laker game, it was like on the seat, you know, the edge of your seat, you know, just kind of waiting for the next, you know, play to happen. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, always about that excitement that drew that a lot of the tension. And it's like, if you missed even a little bit of the game, like you might miss, you know, a game-winning shot, you might miss a no-look pass or something that transpired on the court. But yeah, in my heart, it was, you know, I became a fanatic around basketball, just watching the Lakers. And, you know, playing basketball, I always looked at how Magic Johnson was, you know, the court leader, you know, directing traffic, calling out plays, and was just the on-court, you know, floor general. And that was something that, you know, I wanted to kind of mold my game around. Like, I mean, granted, I'm not 6'9", 6'10", or whatever. I'm, you know, it, but, you know, just that charisma, that character, that, you know, what he brought to the game, that excitement was just something that I always wanted to try to be, you know, growing up. You know, as funny as it sounds, but yeah, just, you know, that was the role that I played in, you know, junior high school, and then, you know, just, you know, rec leagues and stuff, just point guard, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's so much basketball out there. I mean, I can remember, you know, going to games, but then there was parks, man. I mean, Venice Beach. We used to go to Santa Monica Community Center every Saturday. And I can remember I was just a kid, but I can remember my dad taking me there pretty much every Saturday, man. And I can remember Cynthia Cooper coming there as a girl, ooh, little girl, nice, playing with the guys, man. And, you know, just stuff like that, man. It's just such a rich, you know, culture of basketball there. And also I wanted to touch on one thing. I remember you said that just missing a game, man. We didn't want to miss a game. So I can remember we went to a jazz festival at UCLA. Mm-hmm. And the game was coming on like the same time we were going to be out there. So my dad and my uncle, they bought a generator and bought the TV. And we had the game going on at the same time as the jazz festival concert. So we were not missing a game.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember, you know, at home, you know, we had cable TV, and then on the weekends, you know, our family would go and visit our other family out in LA, Hollywood area. And, you know, they didn't have cable, but you know, they had, you know, just the regular channels. And at that time, when you were watching a Laker game and it was a home game, you had to watch that on cable. And if you didn't have cable, you know, you'd be asked out, you know? And so, you know, good thing though, like you were able to listen to Chick Hearn on 570 channel, you know, on the AM station. And, you know, I just remember like my whole family just gathered around this little ass radio, you know, listening to Chick Hearn. Cause I mean, his play by play, you know, by far cannot be matched at all, you know, ever. Like ever. Right. Like you listen to the amount of detail that he describes, you know, just the layups, the jump shots, right? Like you're almost already there, you know? And so he was able to like, you know, paint that picture for you. And, you know, it was like you were, you know, you can mentally capture what he was saying and what he was describing. And so, but yeah, to your point, man, like that was us. That was our family. You know, I just remember my grandmother the same way. She had this one, you know, seat on the couch that, you know, you couldn't sit there because she wanted to, you know, sit there right in front and watch the Laker games, you know? And, you know, that resonated deeply too, you know, with me that, hey man, like my family is just a bunch of, you know, basketball junkies, you know, and yeah. it, that's kind of, you know, a little bit of how I grew up, you know, at very early age, you know, that's what I experienced. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I think I remember the term, man. I can't remember the whole phrase, but he said the lights are out, the eggs are getting cool, and the butter's getting hot, the jello's jiggling or something like that.
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
The refrigerator, the door's closed, the lights are out, the eggs are cooling, the butter's getting hard, the jello's jiggling. that was his thing, man. Like every time. And it was one of those things that was like, you know, it was nail biter games, right? It's so close. And it's like, dude, Chick, put it in the fridge already so I can rest. You know what I mean? just like it was that solidifying that, okay, we got the win, you know? So it's cool. Brings back memories, man.
Yeah, it really does, man. He's a legend, man. But it's just the beauty of just being a Laker fan, those kind of memories, man. But let's turn this corner, man. So,
yeah,
you know, as far as your brand, where did having a brand surrounding the game of basketball, where did it first enter your heart, man?
You know what? Like it was mid-90s, man. Like I was still in high school. Like, okay, I'm talking about a little bit about my age right now, but I was a senior in high school, and you know, one of those like what do you call it? The senior quotes or, you know, shout outs at the end of the yearbooks and stuff. Like I always remembered how I shouted out B-ball junkies, right? Like it was more of a homage to all like friends and people that I met throughout the years playing ball, that I was like, yo, shout out to all the B-ball junkies out there, you know? And that was the beginning of it. Like I've always been a fan of basketball, right? Like, you know, played high school ball, you know, and it wasn't until like after, like I was getting ready to graduate from high school that I was like, yo, like, you know, I spent a lot of time playing ball and I met a lot of people. And that was everything about basketball culture in general was like kind of molded me to be as a person, you know, not only from just the game itself, but even just the culture and the surroundings around that. Like, you know, a lot of my friends, they're very diverse in, you know, nationalities, culture, races, and, you know, things like that. And, you know, we had the common, you know, the commonality of playing ball, right? Like you saw no color, you saw no, you know, there's nothing that divided you other than, you know, the ball, right? Like, and everyone, you know, everyone that I've been around with, you know, it's always been a positive, you know, thing for me, you know, with playing ball. Kind of, you know, you, when you're young, you know, kind of keeps you out of trouble, right? You know, if you're on a team, you have to be disciplined to stay on a squad and, you know, do all the things right, get your grades up, right? So you had to, you know, walk a narrow, you know, straight, narrow path, you know? But it really started around there. And, you know, when I graduated from high school, like, you know, I wasn't good enough to play, you know, college ball or anything like that, you know, but, you know, I was still able to find the love to play ball, like outside of, you know, the organized sports in that regard, but, you know, playing rec ball, playing pickup game, you know, still was in my blood. But yeah, around that time I was like, you know, I was putting in teams and squads into like leagues and tournaments. And the name of our team was B-Ball Junkies. And yeah, and so like all my friends were, you know, that were part of the squad. They were all into sneakers, all into hip hop music, all into, you know, art, graffiti, right? Like everything around the subculture of basketball. And that's kind of what brought, you know, all of us together was not only that we played ball together and things like that, we were still, you know, into the same things, you know, like sneakers and things like that, right? You know, you play ball, right? You got to have the fresh sneakers, you know?
Right.
It was one of those things, right? And then just music in general, right? Like that music influenced you and it inspired you to, you know, play a certain way or, you know, be a certain way, right? Like that, you know, weighed heavily on what I was inspired by, you know? So, but that, yeah, that's kind of how it started. And, you know, I ended up, you know, after, when was this? It was around 2000 was when I was like, you know what? Like, so I was into a lot of like other street culture, you know, around like skateboarding and BMX bikes and, you know, snowboarding and, you know, hip hop and whatever. Right. Like I was always a fan of that. Right. And buying product from those stores, like skate stores and, you know, things like that. But there wasn't really too many like independent brands out there that spoke to me as a person, as what I was influenced by. And I felt at that time there was a void in, you know, what I felt, you know, should be around. Right. There was that need for that basketball player that was inspired by basketball culture. And, you know, that's kind of how B-Ball Junkies evolved into be, you know. And in 2000, I ended up purchasing some equipment, some silk screening equipment, and taught myself, you know, how to print. You know, I picked up a book, actually. There really wasn't any like YouTube or, you know, information on the internet like it is now, right? Like it was, you know, you go find someone that knows how to do it or you figure out yourself. And, you know, right. At that time I learned how to screen print. Like I've always you know, was really into art. But I mean, to go even, you know, before that, right? Like after high school, you know, growing up with, you know, with Asian culture, Filipino culture, you know, my parents wanted me to become a doctor, right? They're like, all right, you know, you're going to school, you're going to be a doctor. So you got to figure it out. And I was like, oh, man. Like, it was one of those things like, okay, you know, I'm gonna try it. Right. Like for me, it was, you know, I always wanted to make sure that my parents are proud of me. And it was always that thing of like, you know, follow what your parents say, do the right thing kind of thing. Right. And, you know, so I went to school. I went to Cal State Fullerton, and I ended up, you know, majoring in biological sciences. And my path was to try to go into medicine. And man, my first year in the college, it was like wide awakening. Like it was crazy, to say the least. Like, you know, courses were difficult for me. Like I wanted to go into graphic design. I wanted to go into some sort of art. And, you know, I wanted to also make sure that my parents approved of what I was doing. And, you know, at that time I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And, you know, halfway through first semester, I was like, ah, man, I ain't doing this. I ain't gonna be a doctor, but you know what? I'm gonna finish up you know, this major, you know, because it, you know, it was kind of interesting. And, you know, I was into, you know, I was into nature. I was into science. I was into kind of those things. And, you know, fast forward, you know, 4.5 years later, I ended up graduating in biological sciences. And, you know, I was, it wasn't until then I was like, all right, so what am I going to do? Right. Like, I wasn't going to be a doctor. And I ended up, you know, working for a laboratory. And I was basically a lab rat, and working there for a few years. And then I landed a job working for See's Candies. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with See's Candies. I think they're nationwide now, but
yes.
See's Candies is, you know, chocolate. And I was one of the main, like, quality control technicians. It was just me and this other guy that tested all the products, all the raw materials that came in. And, you know, that actually led and built the foundation to me becoming a quality manager. And so for many years, I ended up working for food and beverage manufacturing companies. And at the same time, I was, you know, side hustling with B-ball junkies and the silk screening thing. So I was living a double life, right? I had two, you know, things that one, I was, you know, trying to fill that, that promise, or not even a promise, but that, you know, well, how my parents wanted me to become and, you know, go into, you know, be a doctor and things like that. But I ended up, hey, you know what? I finished biological sciences. That's what you wanted me to do. Let me go figure out, you know, how I can, you know, get a career out of this. And at the same time, I was creatively, you know, it wasn't fulfilling me, you know? And so that's where I ended up having a side hustle doing B-ball junkies and silk screening on the side. And then at my day job was, you know, working as a quality, you know, whether it's a quality control technician. And I moved my way up in the ranks into a supervisor, to manager. And, you know, that's how it ended up being. And for many years I was running that play, you know. It's funny, cause like I had been silk screening for, you know, local schools and recreation parks and small businesses and things like that. But, you know, I ended up getting a few, you know, cool gigs throughout that time and just meeting cool people. And, but yeah, man, that's, that's kind of where, like, my story happened, you know, kind of after high school, going through college. So, you know, I didn't go to school for graphic design or printing or anything like that for what I'm doing now. But I ended up, you know, learning a lot of, you know, things about business, you know, through the jobs, the different jobs and, you know, positions that I've held throughout the years. And, you know, I kind of used that to my advantage in building, you know, my brand and building, you know, the business that I'm running now. So.
Man, that's good stuff. That's quite a journey, man.
Yeah.
Quite a journey, man. You know, it's amazing, man, how, you know, going through life, man, you do a lot of different things that lead to a certain thing, and you pick up different, you know, just ways of doing things and qualities and skills, and you're able to put it into now your brand, you know. But you know, I want to talk a little bit about the brand here. Now, when I first came across the brand, I'm like, oh, man, this is perfect, because, I mean, it speaks my language. Like, I'm a B-ball junkie, like, I mean, through and through, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when I first saw it, I mean, I couldn't tell you how I came across it. I stumbled on it, man, like on Instagram. And I'm like, what is this? It's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
And so I can remember just reaching out to you, man. And I just really liked the concept and just some of the different things that you did on there. It seemed like, you know, you're about the culture of hoop, man. It's like you have merch, but I like how you also, especially on your page, you display like just your love for the game, man, whether you're at tournaments or just different things like that, man. Kind of talk about what's your brand, how you embody the game, the culture, and just kind of your vision for what you're doing through the brand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, And when I describe my brand, I always describe it as a lifestyle brand. And I know, you know, in this day and age, you know, a lot of companies, businesses, they use that, you know, word to describe what, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, I feel like when I built B-Ball Junkies, that, and I mentioned, and I say that this is a lifestyle brand, that was what I wanted to be about, right? Like, if I was trying to get you to support my brand by buying a piece of my merch, then I hadn't done anything, right? Now, if I inspired you to go out and want to play ball, or, you know, the things that I post that, you know, you'd like or you dig, and, you know, the things that I'm into, then I cherish those, you know, I would cherish those more so than, you know, just buying a product, right? Like, for me, when I'm building that, I want to make sure that someone is going to support the brand because of what I'm about and what the brand is about, you know? So, you know, anybody can come out with a brand, you know, sell t-shirts, sell merch and things like that. But, you know, that's kind of why early on I wanted to be more about it, right? Like, I've done things where I've hosted basketball tournaments. I've given back to the youth communities, partnered up with people to host, you know, clinics, given back to nonprofit organizations. Like, this is, even though I sell merchandise, you know, it's more about selling what that lifestyle is about, right? Like, you know, sneakers and art and things like that. Like, I'm so inspired by those and a lot of the creatives around that. And, you know, that's kind of the reason why I wanted to open up an actual brick and mortar shop, because I wanted people to come into my space, right? Like, I'm curating a space for you. Like, everything that's in my head when it comes to what I've been inspired by and what I see as you know, that most people would just see as a regular basketball thing is like art to me. And, you know, I opened up a brick and mortar shop because I wanted people to come in, and when they see the things I'm inspired by, that hopefully that, you know, trickles and influences you. Like I said, I was inspired by Magic Johnson and by, you know, his court play, right? Like, I wanted to become a point guard, you know? And so my hope is that, you know, you come through my shop, you know, and I guarantee you come through my shop, three things are going to happen. Either you're going to buy something from me because you like the product, right? Or you're going to be inspired to want to do something, you know, or we're just going to shoot the shit. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that's going to happen when you come through the shop, and it's okay. You know, you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to, you know, like everything that I make, but, you know, I'm making things because creatively it fulfills something out of my own, you know, my own personal, it comes out of me, right? Like, it's something that I want to produce and provide out there to the universe, you know? So, but yeah, like, you know, so when I opened up the brick and mortar shop, you know, it was because I wanted to not only have a place where people can, you know, see the products that I'm making, but it was also a place where you can see what it is that I'm doing to make these things. You know, like, that's why I have my silkscreen machines and things like that in the back, so you can see what the process is like. And if there is, you know, questions around, you know, how do you do that? Or, you know, how much does that cost to do that? Or what do you need to, you know, to start a brand? Like, yo, hit me up, man. Like, I'll be a resource to you. And people who know me personally, you know, they can attest to that and say, yeah, man, like, you know, Rob will help you out, you know? And that's kind of what I hope to do when people come through those doors. And, you know, things that I've done in the past as well is I've helped promote other brands and businesses and creatives, photographers, artists through my shop, right? Like, these were, you know, of course, there were direct friends or acquaintances of mine that I knew, and I was really about what they were about. And I wanted to do my part and try to help promote what they're doing, you know? And so you can see on some of my early posts that, you know, we hosted these events. And if you were part of, if you ever attended any of these events, whether it was a tournament or a, you know, one of the, you know, activations that I had in my shop, a lot of people would say, hey man, it felt really like family oriented, you know, like, and that's because that's what I'm about too. You know, I really hone into on that, and, you know, I want all involvement, right? Like the way my dad brought me up was, you know, like, hey, you know, record these basketball games, you know, and then we'd watch the games when he'd come home, you know, and it, you know, got me involved in things like that, you know, and, you know, even during, like, was it, after during college times, you know, my dad was like a coach for a basketball team, like a recreational basketball team for these Filipino organizations. And, you know, that was one of the things. It was, you know, Saturday practices and Sunday, you know, game day. And it was, I mean, it was like a festival, bro. Like, imagine every game on a Sunday afterwards, there would be potluck, there'd be food, there'd be family coming out. It'd be just good old times. And, you know, that's kind of that same mentality that I bring to when I host an event. Like, I want you to be comfortable, and I want you to feel that you're welcomed, you know, in my world, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of what I hope to convey, what the brand is about. Like, you know, it's not only about basketball. Yeah, the basketball is the, you know, the topic of it, but, you know, it's everything else that, you know, that comes with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Definitely, man. And, you know, I can feel that, you know, just when I first, you know, visited your IG site, even now, man, you continue to do, you know, certain things. And, you know, that's what I really like about it, man. You know, it's the merch is a byproduct of the culture, you know, is what it sounds like to me. And, you know, that's what I like, man. There's a culture, there's a nature that drives, you know, the manifested product, you know. And, you know, for that, people can feel proud wearing the merch and purchasing the merch and repping the merch, you know, such as myself. You know, I really, you know, it means a lot to hear the story behind the person and the why behind the what, you know, that means a lot to me. And when I know that, for me, when I wear something on my back, it means a lot more, you know. I'm not a person that I just wear anything, you know. You know, I'd rather wear just a white tee before I just put something on that has a brand that I know the brand doesn't represent the right things, you know, or got a story behind it, you know. So to hear those kind of things from you, you know, B-ball junkies can feel, you know, the culture behind their purchase, or, you know, their representation of B-ball junkies. So as we get ready to close this down and wind it down, things that I want you to do is just kind of talk about some of the merch, and maybe talk about some things that you got coming up, and if you can end off where anyone can reach you, where they can find you on social, what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in regards to the merchandise that I sell, that, you know, it's really mainly, I always like to consider it or call it fundamental fashion, right? It's your, you know, basic, you know, t-shirts, hoodies, hats, beanies, things like that, that kind of, you know, you rock on a daily, that, you know, unless you have to go into work and you got to wear, you know, suits and things like that, like, you know, this is what you would rock on a regular basis. And so, you know, when I call it fundamental fashion, that never goes out of style, right? So you can rock a t-shirt and rock a hoodie at any given time and season, you know. But you know, in regards to like the design aspect, I like to keep, you know, I like that whole moniker of less is more, you know, keep it simple, stupid kind of thing. Right. Like I always like just really clean aesthetics. Not, you know, too crazy, simple color, one color, two color, you know, designs and things like that. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, selfishly, I'm a screen printer by trade now that, you know, it's easier for me to bang out one color prints than it is to do, you know, eight color multiple hits. So, but we got some, you know, cool things coming up. I started dabbling into, cut and sew. So look out, for some new merch, in terms of that. So my product offering is actually expanding. So you can find me on my social media, at B-Ball Junkies, and that's one word, B-B-A-L-L-J-U-N-K-I-E-S, so B-Ball Junkies. You can also find me on my website, although my website is under construction right now. So as I'm gearing up for this new drop, you know, you'll be able to see a new refreshed look. But if you are on the West Coast, you know, come out to my shop. Hit me up anytime. I'm in Anaheim, California, which I'm about, I don't know, 10 miles or less from Disneyland. So if you know where that's at, I'm around there. But, you know, hit me up anytime. You know, email me, you know, send me your thoughts. If you're thinking of, you know, and or need help in that regard, you know, hit me up too. I could be a resource for you. But if anything, you know, that's where you can find me.
It's good stuff, man. I really, really appreciate you being on and just talking about your brand, yourself, man, how the basketball culture was embedded in your heart, man. And one of the things that I also try to do, man, is especially for those that are listening, I like to try to extract or pull just something out of my guests that they can leave with anybody that's listening and that might help them to, you know, just go on to do what they're doing in life, doing it better, maybe going after their dreams or whatnot, you know. And over your lifetime, you know, you've done some things, you've learned some things, you've accomplished some things, you have a brand, brick and mortar, like you've done some things. What's something that over your life that you've learned, maybe just like a wisdom nugget or just some kind of, you know, whether it's a scripture or anything that you've kind of lived with, or lived by, that you can share with our listeners as we close out today?
Oh yeah, that's actually a loaded question, and I got a pretty good one for it. But you know, I would say really it's follow your heart, follow that dream. I mean, like I'm living testament to that, right? Like for many years I had lived a double life. Like even though I was, you know, working for a corporate job and I was, you know, doing the things that, you know, that helps pay bills and things like that. Like it was comfortable, if you will. Right now, you know, if I had started earlier and jumped into this, you know, who knows what would have happened. You know, maybe I wouldn't have been ready mentally, right? Maybe I had to go through a lot of these things, but I always say is just follow what your heart tells you, you know, and that's what I instill to my kids. You know, find what it is that you like to do or you want to do that makes you happy, right? Like money isn't everything. Money isn't everything. And it was, you know, I learned a lot, you know, 2 years ago, end of 2019, you know, my father-in-law had passed away. And, you know, I had been living this double life of grinding, bro. I mean, I was, you know, working on BBJ, printing for other companies. And I was working for, you know, a corporation that was, I mean, 24/7 there, you know, they had my phone number. It was manufacturing. And so I had been living this double life of grinding. And when my father-in-law passed away, it really showed me that, hey, man, you need to slow down or you need to like simplify things, right? Like money isn't everything. And it, not to say that was what drove me in the beginning. It was mainly that, you know, you were always chasing that, right? And so this, so at the end of 2019, when he passed, I made this decision to like, hey, you know, my kids were having a hard time trying to cope with it. My wife was having a hard time coping with it. And so I had made the decision to, you know, to be here physically, mentally with my family. And at the same time, I was like, you know what, this, I don't have all the time in the world. Like, if I really want to do something, live out my dream, like I got to do it now. And so at that time I ended up leaving my corporate job. And here I am now running B-Ball Junkies full time, right? And so going into it, I had to make sure that all my I's are dotted, T's are crossed, right? Going into it, and now look what happened, right? That was end of 2019. Beginning of 2020, COVID hit, right? And so now I'm still, you know, I'm not trying to paint a picture that B-Ball Junkies is this, you know, big company, it's doing well, man. It's a struggle. Like I tell you, it's a struggle, and it's challenging, and it's you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about dealing with adversity, you know. And so, but you know what? It's part of the dream, and it's part of the grind, and that's something that I accept. And if you know, people out there, you know, have that same passion inside them, you know, bring it to light, you know, and go after it, right? And it sounds so cliche, right? It sounds so like, yeah, you know, go out your dreams. Sound like a Disney movie and something, right? Like, you know, it sounds something like that. But it really is, right? You know, you find what it is that you like to do. If you're good at it, you know, try to figure out a way to make something out of it, you know? And that's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm trying to do. And still, you know, who knows how long B-Ball Junkie's going to last, you know, even, you know, through this, you know, COVID times. But, you know, I'm strong minded. I'm a bit stubborn and, you know, I want to see it through. Right. So, yeah, if anything, hopefully, you know, maybe that's a nugget that I can drop for your listeners.
No, that's good, man, because you know, sometimes things aren't favorable. Going after your dreams and those things that's in your heart, man, there's going to be those obstacles, you know, but, you know, more times than ever, you see those people that come out on top of things and have a successful business, brand or whatever it might be. And they push through the hard times. So that's good stuff, man. I'm glad you left that nugget, man, because, you know, we got listeners, man, that, you know, they listen in, man. You know, to date, we've had, over 4,500 listens, and I've been podcast a little over a year, man. So, you know, our listeners, man, we try to give them those nuggets, man, those things that when they listen into the podcast, they say, man, you know, that thing that Rob shared, you know, that inspired me. And I want to take that and walk it out. You know, I want to add it to this piece of my life and things like that. So, man, I appreciate you sharing that, man. And if you can, just one more time as we close this thing out, man, drop your social media handles, man, so that our listeners can check you out.
Yeah, so you can follow me on all my social media platforms at B-Ball Junkies. That's one word, B-B-A-L-L-J-U-N-K-I-E-S on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also follow or check out our website at bballjunkies.com. But yeah, you know, we're located in Anaheim, California. Got a brick and mortar shop. If you come through and you say you listen to the podcast and you know Lewis, I'll take care of you.
Man, I appreciate that. Man, thank you so much, man, for taking time out of your day, man, to hop on and talk hoops, talk your brand, and talk Lakers. And
yeah, know, man.
Man, I love it, man. I appreciate you taking your time to, you know, and thank you for allowing me to interview you, man.
Hey, man, the honor is mine, and I appreciate you even, you know, given me this opportunity to share my story on your platform. So thank you. I appreciate you, my man.
Man, appreciate you for coming on, man.
Right on.
So I hope you enjoyed this. And as we leave this podcast, I definitely want to give a shout out to David Roberts State Farm. David Roberts State Farm. If any auto, home, Any insurance type needs that you have, they will provide it for you. They will take good care of you. You can contact them at agentdavidroberts.com, agentdavidroberts.com, or give them a call, 419-420-7700. And for my partners, Dr. Dish, you can reach out to them on social media, drdishbasketball.com, or on social media, Dr. Dish B-Ball. And like I mentioned before, you know, if you are in the market of a brand new shooting machine, you can join the likes of Duke, North Carolina, Baylor, Florida, countless other excellent and amazing programs. Join the ranks of them. Improve your shooting percentage of your players and your team as a whole. This machine, Dr. Dish machines, will definitely help you. And for especially for this holiday season, you can save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish machines, the Rebel, the All-Star model, or the CT model, when you just mention the Interview You podcast. Mention the Interview You podcast in your purchase, and you will receive an extra $300 off of the Rebel, the All-Star, or the CT models of the Dr. Dish shooting machine. So make sure you visit them for your shooting machine today. Well, hey guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.